We're doing the book of Iyov, and we left off towards the end of what's called the 34th chapter, the 36th pasuk. And Elihu is up to the second section of his speech. He's about to conclude the second section of his speech. And he discussed how God really watches over what we're doing, and no one can undo what God declares, what God decrees. Nature doesn't undo God's desire. The forces of nature cannot undo God's desire. God has a system. The fact that you don't understand the system doesn't mean there isn't a system. Logic dictates that if God wanted you wiped out, he could have done it in a second. So we find that God does have a system. He does pay back. And no one can undo his system. So you have a question. You have a question. But you have no right to talk the way you're talking. And the things that you've said, Iyov, stem from your pain and not from your intellect. And so, and now he's saying what to my mind are the most hurtful words of the book of Iyov. He tells his good friend Iyov, he says, Avi, I desire, or else he's turning to God and calls him my father. Yibachen Iyov ad netzach. God, let Iyov be tested for eternity. I want Iyov to continue suffering, his good friend Elihu says. I don't know, this is... took me a whole day to prepare to say this line. What a terrible thing to say. So Elihu says, let Iyov suffer for eternity. Al teshuvot be'anshei avin. So that there'll be an answer to the sinners. So that people will see that so long as he continues talking the way he's talking, he continues suffering. And until he repents, until he turns back, don't let the pain leave him. Ki yosif al chatato fesha beinenu yispok. Because he's added to his internal sin, his own sin where he internally thought God must not have anything to do with the world. Must be that God's not watching over what's going on here. Can't be that I was such a pious person and I'm suffering. He's added to that sin that he thinks that way, a pesha, a more blatant sin, and that is that he's publicizing his thoughts. And beinenu yispok, and among us, he's had his full, his fill. Yispok is like maspik. He's had his fill, publicizing and letting everyone know that God can't be running the world. And if you let up on Iyov's suffering, so then everyone's going to think, I guess Iyov's right. Because if beforehand he didn't deserve it, so now that he's been talking this way, God, if you let up on him now, then the world will have no choice but to conclude that I guess there is no justice. I guess Iyov's right. You see, he spoke this way and then things got better. So he turns to God and says, let Iyov be tested for eternity until he repents, because this is the answer to sinners. V'yerev amarav la'el. And he's said all his great speeches against God. So Elihu over here has not yet answered Iyov completely. And that's where his third speech is going to come in, what we're about to begin. He says, God's done nothing wrong. There is a system. You have a question, you have a question. But God is watching over what's happening here, and no one can undo what God's doing here. And you're wrong in thinking that because you don't understand the system, so there is no system. There is a system. And no one can undo the system. And it's not right. One of Iyov's claims was, he said, I have to say that God leaves things to the forces of nature, because if not, then I have to say that God is evil. Either God leaves things to nature, and that's why I'm suffering like this, and then there's no gain in being a kind and just person, because look, I led a great, kind, and just life, and look at how I'm suffering. Well, how could I end up suffering like this? Must be that God is not involved in the world. That was one of Iyov's claims. Must be God leaves it to nature. And then it doesn't matter. God says, I want you to lead a just life. Sometimes I'll interfere and I'll help those who lead a just life. But not always. And sometimes I leave you to the wind. And so I end up suffering like this.
Or maybe it's good to suffer.
Okay, that we haven't yet said. So Elihu says no. God is watching over every footstep. And God is controlling. And the forces of nature don't run anything. There is an exacting decision from heaven. You have a question? You have a question. That doesn't change the facts. So what about Eov's suffering? So now we come to speech number 3. Vayan Elihu Vayomar. So Elihu answers his third answer. He's paused. He's let Eov think. And now he's coming to discuss Eov's actual pain. And he says, Hazot chashavta lemishpat. Did you really think that your great speech was just? Where you claimed, Amalta tzidki me'el. You claimed, I am more righteous than God. I've led a righteous life, and God has not paid me back my fill. God has only hurt me. Do you really think that is just what you said? Hazot chashavta lemishpat. Do you think that that claim is justice? Amalta, that you said, tzidki me'el, I am more righteous than God because God is not involved in this world. He must have left things to the forces of nature. Do you really think you're just in this? Ki tomar ma yiskon lach. If everything comes from the forces of nature, then you derive no benefit from serving God. When you make that claim, ma o'il mechatati, and you make the claim, and what do I gain if I overcome my natural inclination to sin? The nature of the human being is to be animalistic. It's a dog-eat-dog world. So your claims, Eov, you say, well, if everything's up to nature, what do I gain by being in line with God's desires, serving God? What benefit is there when I overcome my natural inclination to sin? Ani ashivecha milin ve'etreyecha imach. I will answer you with words, and I disagree with you, and I disagree with your friends too. Because your friends kept telling you, you must have deserved it, Eov. That was the gist of all the claims earlier in the book. Everyone until now has been saying, Eov, if you're suffering, you deserve it. And I don't think so. I think you're wrong in what you've said. I think you're wrong in publicizing your thoughts that there's no point in being a God-fearing person. But I don't think you came to suffer because of your sins. Here is going to be a marked difference between Elihu and all his predecessors. Habet shamayim ur'eh. Look up to the heavens and take note of the brilliance. Take note of the gap between you and understanding the systems of heaven. Look at all the stars. Look at all the brilliance there. Vishul shechakim gavehu mimeka. Vishul is Aramaic also, and look, shechakim, to the great heights of heavens, gavehu mimeka, and how high, how distant they are from you. Im chatata matifol bo. Now, if you look up at all the galaxies, and you start thinking, how many planets, how many galaxies, how huge is this solar system, all the other solar system. And in all of that, there's one human being. So how many people are there on Earth? How many billions? How many?
Over 6 billion
people. You're one. How many planets? How many galaxies? What do you compose in all this great world that God created? How much are you? Look at one pebble of sand on the beach, and you're less than that. Because there have been billions of people on this planet. And there are many planets and many galaxies. And there's this whole fantastic world, Eov, that God created. Now listen here, little Mr. Eov. Let's get perspective. Im chatata, if you have sinned, matifalbo, how do you think you affect God? You really think that what you're going to do is going to affect God? You made a sin, oh, now that's it. The whole world changes because Eov sinned. Im chatata, if you have sinned, matifalbo. Do you really think you affect God? God is above all of this. On the whole planet, you're this little speck of dust. On the whole galaxy, in the world, what are you? And next to God, what are you? Im chatata, so if you've sinned, matifalbo, what have you affected God in your sin? Virabu fisha'echa mataselo. And if you have many rebellious sins, what have you done to God? Im tzedakta matitenlo. And if you've been a righteous person, do you really think you've made any substantial donation in heavens? What have you given God? O mamiyadcha yikach. Or what does God take from you? Iov, you're talking to God like you're on the same plane. God, explain to me. God, look at what I've done for you. Hold your horses, Iov. Have you really done anything for God? Le'ish kamocha rish'echa. To a human being who's like you, someone who's your equal, so there, your wicked ways can have an impact. Ulven adam tzidkatecha. And by the same token, if you're a righteous person, so that affects other human beings like you. Yes, but not God. So don't look at God and say, you owe me one. I didn't sin. You owe me. Look at what a life I've led, God. I've done everything that you want. How could you not give me a good life? Wait a second. God doesn't give us reward because he owes us. Because you've done him no favor when you've done any act that's positive. You have a responsibility to do what's positive. And God might punish you if you don't, and God might reward you if you do, but the system does not work the way you fashioned it. You think that God is like, it's like the kid tells your father, this morning, as we were combing my daughter's hair, so she said, if I don't like the way you comb my hair, I'm not going to be your friend. Huh. Okay, whoop-de-doo, right? Shiver me timbers. Well, it's the same thing. In all of this galaxy, you really think that you're going to turn to God and you're going to make claims. God, look at what I've done for you. How could you give me this life, God? That's what you're saying, Eob. You're putting God down to your level and you're saying, God, if I did the mitzvos, you owe me one. If I lived the life you wanted, you owe me. It doesn't work that way, Eob. If God chooses to give us a good life, it's a gift. It's not that God owes you. Here we're starting to see the depth of philosophy that Elihu is talking about. What is the key point here? And this is a point that you should remember in all of your learning. The idea of God giving us good in this world is a gift. If God told us a way to lead our lives down below, it's not that God said, I want you to do me a favor. Be a good boy. I'll reward you. I really need you to keep my mitzvos. No. God said, I gave you a planet. I gave you a world. I created this world. And I know what's best for you. So if you want to lead a life that's good for you, you're not doing me favors. You want a life that's good for you? This is how you should lead it. If you don't lead your life this way, I might punish you now, I might punish you later. If you do lead your life this way, I don't owe you anything. You've done what's good for you. But I am benevolent, I am kind. And so, I will give you of my good if you lead a life this way. Not because you deserve it. I don't owe you anything. You didn't do me any favors when you led your life this way. You did yourself a favor. God says, I gave you a way of life. Eob, your whole attitude is, if I led my life in accordance with what you want, God, look at what a favor I've done for you. You owe me. How could you not give me? That's not true. God doesn't owe you anything. It's out of God's kindness that he says, you know what? I'll give you. But wait. Once you have that perspective, then you got to analyze it. What's the next step? But you have to begin by understanding that you can't put God down to your level. It's like my little girl saying, if you don't do my hair right, I won't be your friend. Okay.
Yeah, but aren't you
the distance is much bigger.
You're more upset hearing something like you're doing, like,
I mean, Hashem, I'm curious.
I just turned around not to burst out laughing in her face.
Well, okay, but
out of respect, you know, she takes herself seriously, so I'm not going to laugh in her face.
Okay, she's a very young girl now, but let's say she's a teenager. She goes, you know what, Dad, I hate you, Dad. Like, she really gets mad. Because
you know what I say? You know what I say? You're entitled, okay.
Really?
I feel bad for you. I don't feel bad for me. I know my father brought us up with this concept. My father always told us, it doesn't say in the Torah, love your father. You can hate me, it says honor me. That you got to do. You don't have to love me. It's an important concept.
But I mean, still, you don't think the relationship between the way a human rebelling against, the way Hashem would react to a human rebelling against what we're supposed to do in terms of him, and the way that, you know, a child rebelling against a parent, I mean, those aren't exactly analogous.
Of course, you're right, 100%.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to get at.
100%. The distance is much greater. The distance is more like in Gulliver's Travels, right? It's like he looks at the king down there, this little king, he looks at the little king and says, well, what are you guys offering me, right? So even there, obviously, the distance is much greater. Much, 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 much greater. It's like Shlomo HaMelech, when he wakes up from his sleep and he sees a little fly on his nose, he sees a little bee, and he says, the nerve of you, what'd you come on my nose for? So the bee says, please, don't kill me, I'll help you. And Shlomo laughs, he says, how could you ever help me? So Hashem showed him that the bee could also help him, right? The whole story with the Queen of Sheba, she brings fake flowers, live flowers, and then the bee says, now I promised you I'll help you, now I'll show you which is the live flowers, and she goes and shows him which is the live flower. Right? You guys know the famous Medrash? Yeah? Okay, well, at any rate, that's a famous Medrash that even the bee could help him. There's a whole Medrash about Shlomo and the ant and Shlomo and the bee. Whatever. At any rate, they're both limited creatures. Here, we're limited. God is limitless. God doesn't need us. Well, am I doing him any favors? So this is point number one. I'm very tempted to continue, but I think... Yeah, so I'm Netanel, and I think we're going to pause here, and we'll pick up here tomorrow, Bizlat Hashem.